This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Supreme trouble for Justice Thomas. 25 inches of rain, that's a lot in just a couple of days. You couldn't have flown into Fort Lauderdale. And a big one, a 21-year-old Air National Guardsman suspected of leaking classified docs. You will not believe this story. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us here on these airwaves. We're going to dive right into this story about the 21-year-old. It was crazy to see the helicopters and all of the FBI agents that descended on his family's home in Massachusetts. Jack Teixeira was arrested by feds Thursday. He's the guy that they are looking at, arresting, picking up in connection with that treasure trove of leaked documents on the internet. Seems that he had a group where they played video games. You cannot make this up. They played video games, and then they shared classified information. So anyway, this is the big piece of the puzzle in this investigation into the unauthorized removal, retention, transmission, that's the scary part, of classified national defense information. So he's an employee of the United States Air Force National Guard. The National Guard. Naturally, he didn't take questions from the media. He'll have an initial appearance in a U.S. District Court for Massachusetts, and the investigation moves on. But we do know somewhat about him. He's got the rank of airman first class. He's been in uniform since he jumped into the Air National Guard back in 2019, and his base was Otis Air National Guard Base on Cape Cod. And he's a cyber transport systems journeyman. In other words, very low level. Very low level. So he's at that base. And how is he getting hundreds of pages of intelligence about the Russian efforts in Ukraine and the spying on U.S. allies? Dangerous info that was pumped out. So the Pentagon press secretary didn't comment about any of this. It was just a really small briefing and, you know, talked about, oh, it's a law enforcement matter. It's an ongoing investigation. And the Defense Department is working round the clock with the intelligence community to understand the scope of the leaks and that the Pentagon is very limited in what it can say about the documents themselves. Yeah, because they were classified. So how does someone at that level have access to that kind of classified material? There's just so many questions I have about this, and so do you. It's like a big duh. But first we got to figure out more about the story, right? So they were found online last month. How long have they been on the internet? What was the total number that had been posted? That's still kind of unclear. There was definitely details about U.S. spying on Russia's war efforts in Ukraine. Absolutely. And secret assessments of Ukraine's combat power, as well as intelligence gathering on our allies, which is great. Hey, we're gathering information on you. So South Korea, Israel, for example, heavily appeared in this. And what does the president do? He suggested on Thursday morning that officials appear to be nearing a breakthrough in their investigation. And then, of course, later it's revealed about this 21-year-old. But what we do know for sure is there was a gang. And he seemingly is the OG, right? Original gangster. That's what they referred to him as. So he was the leader of this small online gaming group, and that's where the documents were first leaked. The main source for the story was a member of the group on the platform Discord. There's about 300 photos of classified documents that the suspect is alleged to have leaked. most of which have not been made public. And there's still lots of details that aren't verified about the gaming group or where the classified documents were first shared, just what we know, this trove of classified information, which endangered our military and intelligence professionals. So you got to think about how hard people work in the field. This is spycraft. And you got a 21-year-old and his gang of gamers that are pushing that out there. Wow. How do they get the security clearance? How do they do that and betray the country, poof, like that, like nothing? And, you know, when you could see the overhead views, it was he's sitting there in his shorts and just a T-shirt like any other 21-year-old kid, like my nephew. He's sitting on the back porch area of his family's house, and they're swooping and swarming to get him. He's told he has to back out with his arms up, and he does that. And then they take him into custody. How does this happen? How does it go unnoticed for weeks? And why are we constantly talking about leaks? This happened in early March, but some of the documents could have popped up as early as January. Dangerous all the way around. I mean, even some of the classified documents supposedly had been altered from their original form. So think about who they have to contact, allies and partners at pretty high levels to reassure them about the leaks. And I really want to know about access and how lame that the whole thing is the more you kind of piecemeal some of it together. It's shocking, but not shocking, right? When I heard that it first broke, and I know some people at the Pentagon, and everybody was being pretty tight-lipped, I was not expecting to hear about a bunch of gaming dudes that were low-level entry, pretty much, having this classified access. Wow. I mean, wow. And these were all gamers, that's what united them. Games, jokes, they were gun enthusiasts, you know, just they would go to ranges, etc. They were pals. And obviously they were also leaking classified documents along the line. It's you can't make this stuff up. You just cannot make this stuff up. If you know anyone in Fort Lauderdale, oh my goodness. It is a 1-in-1,000-year rainfall event. You know, when they start to get into 1-in-1,000, you're talking about 20-plus inches of rain. The airport was swarmed. Like, the runways had water all over. There's, like, no planes that could take off in Fort Lauderdale. I saw a man swimming in the streets. Like, I could look out my window, and it'd be people doing laps in front of my house. Picture yourself in that situation, right? That is so insane. And the rain kept on coming. So when it finally looked like it was drying up, it wasn't drying up. So when you got 25 inches in a 24-hour period, you know it's bad. So all in that Fort Lauderdale area, which includes, and I was just there a week ago, Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, all of those areas. And more rain fell on Thursday. Like, no relief. Ridiculous. Navigating that? Insane. Justice Thomas, next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
I was just looking at some more video that somebody sent me from Fort Lauderdale. Oh, folks, I know that lots of you have dealt with flooding, right? And you know how horrific it can be. But you just got to think about the amounts falling. And that's what it is. And that's when, like we saw California, that's what happened in California. So that you take all of California and just put all of that rain right there, pretty much in those areas that I mentioned, which Hollywood is close to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they're, you know, miles apart, and they're just soaked. So now the airport is going to be open on Friday morning, but since it's been closed, you have so many people that are trying to get out that that's going to be insane, going through the TSA lines and whatnot. But what are you going to do? You got to cope with the chaos of the water. I mean, that's what the deal is. All right, speaking of what is the deal, the Supreme Court is, of course, especially when they have various sessions, there's so much conversation about what's happening on the Supreme Court, right? But this time around, what's interesting, and this is a name I'm very familiar with, is this Texas billionaire, Harlan Crow. And his companies bought a bunch of properties on a residential street in Savannah, Georgia, pretty quiet residential street, right? And it wasn't a big marquee acquisition because Crow is, all, I mean, his stuff is all over Texas, Dallas, everywhere, and other places in the country. So it wasn't something big. It was just an old single-story home, two vacant lots down the road. But what did make it noteworthy all of a sudden were the people on the other side of the deal, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives. So the transaction is the first known instance of money flowing from the Republican mega donor, which, of course, Crow is, very, very well known. And, I mean, people respect him, I know, from my days in Dallas and won his ear because He, again, is an iconic name. So the Crow Company bought these properties for just over like $133,000 from three different co-owners, Thomas, his mother, and the family of Thomas's late brother. The purchase put Crow in a weird spot because he now owned the house where the justice's mother was living, and soon after the sale was wrapped up, contractors started work on tens of thousands of dollars of improvements on the two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, which looks out onto a patch of orange trees, right? So the renovations included a carport, a repaired roof, a new fence and gates, and, you know, that's easy to find out because you have to have all these crazy permits and there's records and blueprints. You all know when you have to do anything that you're going to have to get permits for something. So there's a federal disclosure law that was passed because of Watergate, after Watergate, and it requires justices and other officials to disclose details of most real estate sales over $1,000. But Thomas never disclosed the sale of the Savannah properties. So if you go by the letter of the law, it appears like it's a violation of the law. And I was talking to a law professor the other day, and who specialized in ethics, and he confirmed that. So the disclosure form Thomas filed for that year had a space to report the identity of the buyer in any private transaction, like a real estate deal, and that space was blank. And so now, given that, I mean, of course, Thomas is not going to respond to any detailed questions or anything related to that, but now there's a question about that. So in a statement, Crow said he bought Thomas's mother's house where Thomas spent part of his childhood to preserve it for prosperity. He said his intention was to create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice. He said he approached the Thomas family about the desire to maintain the historic site so future generations could learn about his life, that kind of thing. But again, the problem now is this lack of disclosure of this transaction. So the questions will be, was he hiding a financial relationship with Crow? Because if it was a mistake or whatever it is, that's what's going to be questioned here. So now when you look at that, you wonder what happens moving forward, because there's all kinds of questions about paying fair market value for the properties and buying other properties on the street and paying less than the deal with the Thomases. And, you know, right on that same street, there was a pair of properties on the same block, a vacant lot and a small house, and that was $40,000. So, and what Crow's company would say is they get them at market rate based on the size, the quality, livability, you know, all of that. And if you don't know, Thomas was born in a place called Pinpoint. It's really kind of a pretty area outside of Savannah. And then he moved to the city where he spent part of his childhood in his grandfather's home. So, he even talks about it. He has a memoir called My Grandfather's Son. And in that book, he talks about the house. So the key thing here is, going through all of this, and even I saw a thing on the forum, because of course the forum is out there, is, does this put him in a tricky situation? I mean, does this put him in a situation where there's going to be more than just polite questions about, okay, this was blank, and what does that mean, and what is there an investigation, or what happens here, I guess, in this situation, because he didn't disclose the real estate deal with a billionaire and sold the house, but his mother continued to live there. So stay tuned. With everything else that's going on with the Supreme Court and their rulings, this is now the sidebar. You know, it seems like there's always, at least lately in the last few years, there's always been some sort of sidebar, right? And this is a big one, because this is talking about ethics and the legality and all of that in between. And you know, is it easily explained away and boom, it's put away? Or is it, no, this goes for anybody. And so because it's blank, then what happens there? Because remember, these are appointments for life, right? So if it's disclosed like, hey, this is illegal, then what happens in that scenario? What happens in that scenario? All right, quickly, I want to get to this because I think it is so damn sad. I think it is so sad that because you have, of course, video. We live in the world where you can see almost everything. It's not as bad as the UK where they have cameras like everywhere. But there was this guy, Bob Lee, who was pretty big in the tech world, right? He was the guy behind Cash App. So we see a picture of him, young guy, he's got a couple kids in his 40s, stumbling, dying, trying to bang onto a window in downtown area of San Francisco. And so the thought was, oh, it's, the area's now pretty nice, but it's getting bad. And, you know, what happened there? Was it just a random attack? Was he mugged? And it turns out the police had a warrant to arrest a man named Nima Momeni, who is also big in the tech world. And this happened. It was a pre-dawn knifing last week, which left Lee dead in a deserted section of downtown San Francisco. And so the thought, again, was robbery, random crazy attack, or something else. But instead, they knew each other. And they were driving through downtown San Francisco, allegedly, in a car registered to the suspect that now has been arrested. And there was some kind of confrontation when they were in the car. And then all of a sudden, Lee gets out of the car. And the police allege that he stabbed Lee multiple times with a knife that was recovered not far from the spot. So they got some evidence, I would say. And they found it and contained the scene and all that. And that's how it all unfolded, right? Lee was walking through a portion of Main Street. I've been there. That's a tourist area where there is not necessarily a lot of foot traffic at 2:30 in the morning. And it just looked like such a violent death. When you could just see it right in front of you. And at a time when there's so much violent crime and chaos happening and people are questioning a lot of things about San Francisco. So, wow, what makes that happen? I mean, you never really hear about that so much in the tech world. This is another one. Let's see as more of this evidence pours out and what happens there. Coming up next, got a great author. He's 90 and he's funny.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. The U.S. Attorney General says the man accused of leaking classified Pentagon documents has been arrested. Merrick Garland.
Jack Douglas Teixeira, in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information.
Teixeira is a member of the intelligence wing of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. Former Vice President Mike Pence.
How could a Massachusetts National Guardsman have access to this type of classified and sensitive information? Yeah.
At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 383 points to 34,029. The S&P 500 rose by 54 points to 41,46. The NASDAQ climbed up 236 points to 12,166. Planes at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport are stuck after 26 inches of rainfall. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Once again, we don't have to dig very deep. Thanks to all of you. Remember, any thoughts, no matter what your thoughts are.
To travel.
Right. How not
where
to.
Are you going next?
Yeah. Where are you going next?
Go there.
Yeah. How not to
that
travel.
Said to me. Oh, sorry. That was actually said to me by a friend, and I've forgotten the one in the American embassy or the one in the British embassy, but he said, where are you going next? I won't go there. And I got it immediately.
So tell us, it's perfect. Like you say, the title, How Not to Travel. So how did you write this book? Why did you write this book? And tell us about your travels.
Well, the book really came out because, I mean, I wrote it simply because we wanted some kind of a history of our travels for grandkids. And the grandkids are not even interested enough to read it, I think. But anyway, they've heard some of the stories, so it doesn't matter. But we started traveling because we were teaching. I was teaching at my first job in Kansas, a small college, a wonderful Bethel College in North Newton, Kansas. And I had this marvelous experience of converting a gymnasium into a really functional theater. My area's region theater. And we had marvelous plays that were good. In fact, I was doing 6 a year. And that's on the quarter system. That means you have to rehearse it in 3 weeks. So it was really like a professional company. And it was marvelous to do it. And I had a young man that was very eager to do his thing, and he rewired all these dimmers that I found in a cupboard back there, 27 of them, I think. And we managed to put together a patch board, which I learned to do at the University of Southern California here in Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, we had a very flexible, functional theater, lots more spotlights. And I bought it, interestingly, from the lady, Jean Rosenthal, Theater Production Services in New York. And Jean and I later were sort of redesigning a little theater. And I said to her once, I said, you know, Jean, I'm in a PhD program at USC in Southern Cal, but I don't know if I want to really continue it. She said, go to Carnegie Institute of Technology in Pittsburgh. I said, what? And she said, go there to do your doctorate. They have a new doctorate, and it's excellent. And she said, I'll recommend you. And she did. And we were in Beirut. We had been interested in teaching abroad, and a friend of ours ran what was called the Mennonite Travel Service. And she was transferred to the Beirut, Lebanon office. And she wrote and said, you kids have been wanting to teach abroad. Why don't you try the American University of Beirut and Beirut College for Women? And I wrote to both and got offered from both. But the one from BCW, Beirut College for Women, which was speech and theater. And that's my field. And I said, yes, let's take it. And we had a wonderful trip going over to there. And then teaching in Beirut is just enchanting in those days. That was the 60s. That was when Beirut was considered the Paris of the Middle East. You had the glorious snow-capped mountains overlooking practically the city of Beirut, which thrust out into the Mediterranean Sea. And it was just glorious. And we had just bought a new convertible Common Ghia. That's the sports car that Volkswagen built. Marvelous little car. I mean, not terribly powerful, but it did wonders. In fact, we drove it from Beirut to London one summer and back from London to Beirut. And then in the same year, Beirut to Tehran and back. Hell is trip. I mean, they were wonderful, but really kind of difficult in the 60s because it wasn't a freeway all the way up to London, nor certainly not in Tehran because you went through potholed roads that really hardly existed. Anyway, kept running out. But that means blowouts and sometimes running out of gas. In fact, we had, I think, 3 blowouts going to Tehran and back. And the last one, I remember I wanted to sign. They said the tires are fine when I left Beirut. And the last one had happened. And I remember seeing tires hanging up a little shop I think, Basra, Iraq. And I said, we went back and a man came up to me and said, I speak English. You speak English? Yes, I practiced English, and I went to go to Beirut. Are you from Beirut? Yes, yes. And he said, how much is that tire? And so he mumbled something in Arabic, and he comes back and said, it's $36. And that's exactly how much money we had in dinars. And that was all the money, I think, that we had left. And I said, I can't buy that. I don't have enough money. He said, no, I tell him, no, they said, you must pay that much money. But I don't have it. Well, I teach Shakespeare. Do you know Shakespeare? Yes, I know Shakespeare. Please let me have that tire for a little less money. I must have money to buy food. Oh, no, you don't buy food. Just buy the tire. And so we bought the tire. And it's the night. And there was a student that went with us, and he started driving. And BJ, my wife, was in the back jump seat. And she said, I think 80 is too fast. I said, yes, David, pull it back. And just at that moment, I think I saw a kind of shaped sign that looked kind of like a stop sign. And there was a little man, a soldier, holding a whistle, holding a rifle on the side of the road. And he's blowing his whistle. And we're shooting. And all of a sudden, the road ends, and we crash down into this gully. and the car stopped. Thank God. And the lights went out, the engines went up, and I crawled out and walked 10 feet straight ahead, and it was water. 10 feet to the right.
Wow.
It was water. 10 feet to the left, it was water. We were in the Marsh Arabs, the Tigris River, and if we had rode, we were in a convertible with no safety part of the top. And there we were. And then a young man came along right after that. He was driving a Mercedes, and he crawled down this embankment, and he said, and he opened up the back of the car, which is where the engine is, of course, and connected the battery to the engine, and I was able to start it, and we drove out, and the little man came down with the van, and he said he was a soldier, and he was holding his M1 rifle or whatever, and he said, I blow a whistle. Why, you know, stop. And I said, magic. Never mind about the only Arabic I know anymore. And so we climbed into the car, and I drove up the embankment, which must have been 15 feet high, and out of that gully and onto the highway, which had no traffic at all, but us and the man in the Mercedes. And I looked, and there was a sign that said, and then the road ended, but it turns 90 degrees and went straight to Baghdad. So we were driving along. I was driving then about 35 miles an hour. And I started, pull myself together for the moment. But the man in the Mercedes kept following behind us. And we stopped at a little tea house that was open for some reason. I think for us, because we were the only ones there. And so I had tea, and we went to pay it. And the waiter said, no, it's paid by the man over there. And we thanked him, and merci, and went on to our car, shukran, and drove by then 50 miles an hour or something normal, and on into Baghdad. Well, when we got to Baghdad, all of a sudden we're in the center of cars. There's no cars because it's 2 in the morning, but it's the center of all these streets coming together, and we had no idea where to go. And I stopped, and the man in the Mercedes came around and said, where do you want to go? I said, to the YMCA. What is that, young man? And he said, I go find out. And he did, and he came back in 3 minutes. He said, come with me. Follow me. And we did. And at 2 in the morning, I'm ringing the bell at the gate of the hotel where we had stayed before going on to Tehran. And they let us in and went to bed.
Wow. You have so many stories like this in your book. We could talk for hours. We don't want to give it all away. We want people to read about some of your amazing brushes, etc. So we only have like 30 seconds left. What do you want people to take away from How Not to Travel? Where Are You Going Next? I Won't Go There, which is a clever title.
Oh, I think that they should just discover the rest of the world and how opportunity is to converse and talk with people and get out of the package tour where they just see their own people, their own kind, and go lie on a beach. Don't do that. Don't waste your holiday with that. Go have this exciting moment where you are face to face with marvelous people that you get to know. You don't even have to know the language. You have just some body language that talks. And you'll love them. And then the world would be better.
Oh, boy.
And I love for talking about
this. Yes, it's such great advice. I love that. That is the key to this book. And you can get Norman and Betty Laughlin's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. How Not to Travel, Where Are You Going Next? I Won't Go There. Norm, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. So wonderful. It's also a go-to-publish available, which is the publisher of this volume.
Perfect.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, time to take you to the movies. So do we have a treat for you. So imagine this, a big break, a big movie that just opened up, and I really want it to do well. It's a horror thriller film. And the story follows a convicted serial killer who, on the day he's slated for execution, says he's a demon. And he goes through a psychiatric evaluation to determine if he's really mentally fit to receive that sentence. So I had a chance to catch up with the star, Sean Patrick Flannery. Here's that convo. What a pleasure to welcome to the show, Sean Patrick Flannery. I already like him already. Come on. I like his name. Plus, I've seen him on Young and the Restless, The Boys, a ton of different roles that he's played over the years. So he's quite an accomplished actor, and now he plays the lead role in Nefarious. And let me tell you, I saw the previews for it, and I think this movie is going to be a home run. In fact, I'm running out to see it. That's how excited I am about it. And again, we're thrilled to have him on. So, Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this role and how it came about and what it was like really embracing this, let's face it, kind of a dark character, needless to say.
Well, it came about, I had initially done a film with Chuck and Carrie, the writers and directors, in 2004. And at the culmination of that film, I told them, I loved working with you guys and I would do a Fruit Loops commercial with y'all. Well, a year and a half ago, they called me and they said, Flannery, we got a Fruit Loops commercial. And I said, let's go do it. And they said, whoa, hang on. Let us send you the script. You tell us if you want to do it. I read the script. It is one of the most surgically crafted scripts I've ever read in my life. And I called them back and I said, absolutely, I'm in. And they said, well, which role do you want to play? And I said, well, I'd love to play Nefarious. And they said, thank God, yes. And we went and we made it. I've never read a script like this that moved me that much, that was that well crafted. It's very rare for me to have an opportunity to do a character like this. I mean, these are the roles that A-list actors get. And I know I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So the fact that it landed in my lap is kind of, palms up.
So you get it, you love it, you read it, you're ready to roll. How do you prepare for a role like Nefarious?
You know, the wonderful thing about preparation for a wonderful script is the more well-written a script is, the less preparation is required. My preparation was contained between fade in and fade out. And that's not an over-exaggeration. I didn't take any of the character home with me. That character died on the word cut and was created on the word action. And like I said, sometimes you need to go outside to fill in the gaps in a script. This script had no gaps, in my opinion. I simply sat down in a chair and I said the words.
And boy, and what a tribute that is to the script, again, that you read. So tell me about the other actors in it, because it seemed like, and again, this is just basing on what I've seen, that there was some real chemistry there.
Well, I got to tell you, one of my biggest concerns in doing this film, and I told Chuck and Carrie this, I said, who's going to be sitting on the other side of the table? Because, I mean, it's largely a what they call a two-hander. And when they suggested Jordan Belfi, and I did my research on him, you know, they cast him. I would not want to do this film with anyone else on the other side of the table than Jordan. I thought he was magnificent in this role. He was a wonderful dance partner, professional, punctual. He knew everything top to bottom. It was an effortless experience with him. I can't imagine doing it with anybody else.
Yeah. So when you do this, you're excited about it, and here's the big day. What's that like for you? Is there any butterflies? I mean, you're a pro, but this is a huge role, like you said, for you. Are you excited to see how this does?
That's an understatement of the year. Am I excited? You know, I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So, I mean, the fact that this is coming to theaters across the country is kind of crazy. It's neat for me and my wife and my family to see the posters at movie theaters. It's a big deal. Like I said, I hope people enjoy it. I hope people go to see it. And I hope when they do that they enjoy it. This is why you get into the business, movies like this. And I'm honored, and it is a true privilege. And so I look forward to the coming weeks and see if people actually received it.
And doing this where it's like a psychological thriller and your character's in prison, and you said you have to trust Jordan because it's that two-hander and you're going back and forth and there's so much dialogue. And again, you're a pro, but there's a lot of dialogue in this for you, and you're really counting on that relationship. So it had to be gratifying to be able to pull this off, right?
Well, there was a heavy word count. There really was. But, you know, I've never been afraid of heavy lifting. I love a challenge, and this role was a challenge for me. But that's why I packed up my car after college and I drove out to L.A. because I hoped one day in my career I would get a role like this. So I think, I'm not saying I succeeded or I failed, but I certainly had been preparing a long time, you know, for a fastball over home plate, and I swung as hard as I could, and we'll see where the ball lands.
Yeah, since you got in that car and you drove out and decided you were going to do the acting thing, do you feel fortunate in some of the roles that you have gotten and the kind of career you've had? Because you have a big body of work.
Let me tell you, I haven't had to get a real job in 30 years. I mean, it's not lost on me. I've had real jobs. I changed the deep fat fryer at Church's Fried Chicken. I moved pianos for Atlas Van Lines. I literally dug ditches. I put culverts under driveways. the fact that I've been gainfully employed and been able to feed my family and house my family while playing make-believe and pretend on movie sets, it's not lost on me. I mean, I am incredibly blessed. I'm incredibly grateful. And I hope it doesn't stop.
I love it. Great to spend some time with you. Nefarious, it opens wide. Like you said, it's in theaters across the country. We do these movie reviews here on my show. People go and support Sean and support this movie. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right, what a great guy. So I want you to hear the trailer for Nefarious. Check it out.
Do you think I'm evil? Evil isn't a clinical diagnosis. I'd like to ask about why you brought me here today.
Do you believe in demonic possession?
No.
Well, then you won't believe anything I'm about to tell you.
And give me something to make me believe you.
Okay. Let me inhabit you.
He got in your head, didn't he? He claims he's a demon.
He's a master manipulator. By the time he's done with you, you have your head so twisted around you think you're the killer.
Before you leave here today, you will have committed 3 murders.
Why would I do that? What are you doing?
My name is Nefarious. Names are important. They have power. They let everyone know who we are.
All right, are you scared yet? You know, and I think of, and I mentioned that, some of the things that he's been in, and he told us how lucky he was, and I really hope this hits the mark, because horror movies, of course, now just the genre in general, are so popular. I've always liked them in thrillers since I was a kid. But I can remember him playing in Boondock Saints, and even the sequel, the Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day, if you remember, Connor McManus, that's who he was in that. And a lot of people know him from the soap, and I mentioned that to him, you know, Young and the Restless, when we sat down for the conversation. But he was also in that series, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and so much more. It has to be exciting, and this is an exciting time for him and for those filmmakers too as well, because they knew they had him in mind. But I love the way they said, hey, read the script. Then he gets back to him, and then boom, there you go. All right, people, go see it. Be safe, be sane, be happy.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.